Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us today on the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And we have just tried to bring a diversity of different guests on here to help you get more familiar with Washington Heights Church. Introduce you to some staff members, some people connected to the church, just in the bigger community, people that we have met along the way. And today, and I believe it's the first time for us, we want to introduce you to somebody from the community that we have become friends with over the last number of months here. And if you've been around Washington Heights, you've heard us talk about a group of people going into the Weber County Jail every Tuesday night and bring our service in there, and really more than that, bringing themselves there to just develop friendships and relationships with the people who are spending some time there at the Weber County Jail. And today I want to introduce you to the Weber County Sheriff, and that is Sheriff Arbon. Sheriff, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for a few moments of your very busy schedule here. And Sheriff, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, and how did you wind up being the sheriff in Weber County?
No, thank you again. I just, first, I just want to express my appreciation to Washington Heights Church, and you guys do so much for the community, and you do so much for the sheriff's office, and we just really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thanks for letting me be a part of your program today. Just a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Pleasant View, Utah, and I went to Weber High School there and then got into law enforcement shortly after, and decided this is the path for my career I wanted to go in. And I actually started at the sheriff's office about 22, 23 years ago as a bailiff. And then I got married, and my brother was living in Missouri, and he said, come out. It's cheap. School's cheap, and help you get a good start. So my new wife, Carrie, and I decided to move to Missouri, and we moved to central Missouri. I went to school there, got my undergrad done, and got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and we're dealing with a lot of crime here sometimes.
A little Freudian slip there, huh?
Yeah. But anyway, while I was there, I was a state marshal for Missouri about 4 years, and then when we got done with schooling, I thought, you know, should I move back home or go somewhere else? And we ended up back in Utah. And I live now in North Ogden, right near where I grew up, and I started my career back here in Utah with Clearfield City. Was there for about 14 years, and then someone reached out to me and said, "Hey, you ought to consider being a chief." And I said, "Where?" And they said, "Perry City." And I thought, that's kind of not what I want to do, but through some counseling with my family and some prayer and some other things, I felt it was the right thing to do. And so I went to Perry City, and we made a lot of changes and had a lot of success there. And then about a year and a half later, I got a similar phone call saying, you ought to run for sheriff. And this wasn't on my path. It wasn't anything I was thinking of or considering. And same process, counseling and family and discussions and prayer. And I just said, you know what, this is the right thing to do. So we did it and went forward 100%. My awesome family and friends supported me 100% and got behind me. And we did a lot of work to get here, and we're here now. It's been a real wild ride. And sometimes the COVID-19 has been a challenge, and the protests have been a challenge too. But we got such great people in this community that are just really supportive. So that's where we're at right now. I've been here for about a year and a half now.
Wow. And that's about how long we've had a group that has been going into the jail. And I believe that started when you were the sheriff. So what is it that would cause you to allow a group like ours to come into a jail? What is sort of the vision behind that?
So one of the visions is that, and this is just being really upfront, but you know, when you turn your life to God, there's a lot of struggle, but there's also a lot of success and reward, and there's a lot of people that when they do that, they're happy. And when I came into office, we did some surveys, we did some analysis, some other checks, and we wanted to know what the needs were with the inmates and those that are inside our jail to reduce our recidivism rate. Recidivism rate is when people come out of jail, they come back again. And so we found several components that were needed adjusting, and we wanted to emphasize different programs, new programs. We wanted a more emphasis of the option to have religious sects to come in here and have the opportunity to share their message, and the inmates, we would hope that they would want that as well. And so when the time is released, it's kind of like a relay race. I think it's the 440 or the 400, you know, you pass the baton. We want to make sure that when the handoff, if you will, is met with a firm supportive grip on the other side to keep them going. Mm. And, to help, have a higher success rate of not coming back to the jail and quite frankly, to be a more successful contributing person to our community and society. That was the reason why we want to reach out to other groups and groups like yours, Roy, which we really love so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have all been so gracious to us and to the groups that have come in there. And it sure seems like your sense that people want that and would respond to it has been true. I mean, in the time, at least, you know, right now, things are shut down as we talk, for groups like ours to come in. But boy, the room has had the maximum amount of men and women pretty much from the time that we've started. What are some of the results that you have seen from groups coming in?
So one of the results that we're seeing is you know, it's been real tough to measure some of this, especially with COVID-19 and the heavy restrictions we got. But by word of mouth and by other things that we're seeing is we're seeing that when someone is released out of the jail, they have somewhere to go, and it's not just a job or it's not just that, but they have something that's more meaningful, long term, more love and welcome and help, and let's get you a fresh start. And so a lot of the reaction that we're hearing from these groups that do volunteer work like yourself and others, we're seeing just a greater response. And, you know, there's always the comment that when people go to jail that they find God here. And then on the other end, there's a joke that when they leave jail, they leave God here. And so we want to encourage that, you know, all the good stuff and opportunity they get here, they can take it with them. And move on and move forward and try and put that negativity in the past and have a brighter future. But yeah, the success is great. We're having a great response and it's one at a time. It's case by case, but we are seeing the numbers go up.
Mm. And, you know, as I just offer my own reflection on my time involved there with Weber County Sheriff's Office, And I don't know why this is a surprise, but it was, and maybe it would be to people who might be listening today as well, is you talked about the concern for the people who are in that system. And there's a law enforcement side of the Weber County Sheriff's Office, then there's a correction side, and those are really two Yep. sides of the same coin. And whether it's the people who are out on patrol or it's the people who are working in the jail, it is just astounded me in a positive way, the genuine concern for the people who are there and wanting the best for them, and to just see those lives leave there and flourish and thrive on the other side of that. And I know a lot of that has to do with leadership and the culture that is created there. And I think that reflects so well on you and the team that you have around you, that there's a genuine concern for the people who are there. And so thank you for that. And it's just very evident being in that environment that that is the case. And along those lines, the first time I believe I met you was at a meeting that you were hosting at the facility there up on 12th Street. And you had invited various community people. There were counselors there, people who were working in social work. Pastor Jimmy and I were there, and a number of others. And you brought us together really around one issue, and that was to maybe figure out together how can we put our combined resources together to help people who are leaving the jail. Can you talk a little bit more about what is it that motivated you? What was the vision behind getting that group of people together and casting that vision?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked. And a lot of it can be perceived in many ways, but in the simplest form is networking. And if you could put aside a personal agenda for, you know, personal glory, if you may, in this case, where, you know, I can fix all the problems, but you, there's no one program that fits everybody. And then even with all these programs that are out there, you've seen cases where this program provides 90% of what this individual needs, or 50%. And, you know, everyone's trying their best. And I don't mean anything negative in my previous statement, but we're all trying to do our best to make things work. But maybe in this scenario where this one group can provide 50% and then there's still this other 50, well, where's this at? Who are they? And a lot of times when you want to, you have a common goal to help somebody, you need to network and see what other resources are out there. You may be 70% successful and this other group can help bridge that other 30. So I brought everybody together so they could get to know, establish that relationship of trust, know what their programs are about, who they're going to be working with, and what could, do they offer it, and then if they can work together, because you could have an individual you're working with, it could be with your group, Roy, or another group, and say, you know what, we got them this far, but I just don't know if we can get them over this next hurdle. How about you or this group or that group, and let's work together to have a greater success rate for these individuals to come back to society. And that's why we brought that meeting together. It's like, hey, we're all in this together. Let's work together and help and support each other, even though it may mean that we can't do it all, but let's try. And that's why we brought them together.
Hmm. And how do you think that's going? That meeting was about, a year ago, roughly?
It was good. I had several people after the meeting say, you know what, this was a good idea. We knew these groups were out there. We just didn't know who they were. And you know, a lot of us offer the same things, but some had some specialty things that they didn't or didn't even consider and thought, you know what, this is great. So you saw a lot of people exchanging numbers. You saw a lot of people saying, oh, where's your office at and what are your hours? And that's what we wanted to accomplish first and foremost, is get everybody together and work on solution problems to have a great solution, and then keep building upon that. And that's what we've been doing. But you know, with COVID, we had to slow that down. But we've seen some other successes with that as well.
Wow. And there really are a lot of resources available in the Ogden community. And boy, sometimes it can seem like people are trying to do it all themselves when there may be a lot of opportunity to work together, for sure. And you know, you alluded already a little bit, Sheriff, that it's been a tough time for law enforcement. And you know, I think we're all aware, you know, of the tension that's going on in our country, you know, with law enforcement, you know, that just seemed to flow especially out of a specific situation in Minnesota there. For people who would want to show appreciation to the many members of law enforcement who are, you know, just doing the best they can, and they're really trying to just benefit their communities and everybody they come in contact with. How could somebody just pass along their encouragement or their support?
No, that's a, you know, I've been getting that question a lot lately, and I'll share my a similar response is there's a lot of noise right now, and there's a lot of part truths and things are, and just seems like a lot of hate out there too. And sometimes in this tough work that we're in, it's already tough. It's always been tough, but sometimes you get caught up and all you hear is negativity. But I'll tell you what, when an officer is standing in line, getting a drink somewhere and has a chance to be around the public, which, you know, it's hard to in itself because they're often criticized, but when someone comes up and just expresses their appreciation of them and what they do and what they stand for, that goes so far. You know, sending a thank you card or if you have a chance to buy their drink, their soda or something like that, and just express that appreciation, that goes so far. And right now, this is a time when our deputies and all the other officers and the other agencies could really use that. It's just people acknowledging it, because sometimes they wonder, I mean, they really hate us, or they really matter, we really, you know, all these negative stuff, but we know that there's a lot more good out there, and sometimes people not sure how to do it, but just if you see them, acknowledge them and let them know that they're doing great work and you appreciate them, that would be just awesome.
So it doesn't sound like it has to be a big over the top thing, just a simple thing, right?
Yep, that simple.
Well, Sheriff, let me ask you a question. It's a little bit different than this, maybe not a line of work question, but just a personal question. You know, here we are going through some strange days with the COVID and everything else that's happening. Is there something positive that you have been learning during these days that maybe you would not have learned in other times? Is there something that has just come to you that is a positive message in these days? They seem to be maybe a little bit harder to find these days. So I'm wondering if you might have learned something positive.
Yeah, you know, I had this discussion with my family, in fact, the other night. And it was as simple with all this noise and this rhetoric that's out there is there's some things in life you can't change. Whatever happens in another city or with the government, the federal guys, there's very little that we can do. Just stay focused, do what's right, serve your fellow neighbors and brothers and sisters, always pray, do what's right, and focus on God. And these are the kind of things that you get caught up in the noise and you just got to pull back and remember those simple things that you were taught your whole life, simple things, the difference of right and wrong and stuff like that, and just hold fast to those good principles. And life is just, that gives you that strength to help you through these challenging times. And that's what I love about your organization, Roy, is you guys are so simple in your teachings, and sometimes we look for mysteries in things in life, and we can get, you know, our minds can wander some other direction, and just focus on the simple things of life, do good things. And, you know, you find yourself in a happier spot, not so worried and worked up. That's kind of the lesson I'm seeing right now is don't get caught up in all this noise. It's not worth it.
Well, reminds me of words that somebody named Jesus said one day when he was asked, hey, net it all out for us, boil it all down. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? That we can make it a lot more complicated than that, but sometimes it's really important to come back to the basics and make sure we got that before we get something else.
And that is one of my favorite scriptures that you just read, and it's so true. Love God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor. You nailed it right there. Thank you, Roy.
Well, thank you for your time, Sheriff Arbon, and just thank you for your gracious welcome. I might be good for people to know that, you know, there have been times I've been in that office and the sheriff said, just walk around and pray over the desks and over everything here and go to the jail. And we've been given keys, Pastor Jimmy and I, that basically we can go anywhere. So you've vested a lot of trust in us. We appreciate that. And we're just glad to be a part of bringing, you know, that positive voice, that voice that is focused on Jesus there. And thank you for just the way in which you have entrusted us with an awful lot. And it is something we do not take for granted. So thank you so much for having welcomed us.
Can I add something, Roy?
Sure.
Yeah, I know you have a great congregation there and a lot of people listen to you, but you know, I just want to share something with your group and just express my appreciation for you and Jimmy and all your group. And you know, sometimes we only see some people from one side, and I've seen you guys down here when we've had an officer involved shooting or there's been a suicide, and it's been, and you guys are down here and they probably don't know everything that you guys do, but you guys are truly servants of God. And it's, I notice it, my staff notices it, and we appreciate you guys do so much. And I can't tell your group enough how much I think they are so blessed to have such true servants of God and also patriots, if I might add, and just how wonderful you guys are. And you guys do so much, and probably some of it goes often unappreciated or recognized, but I just want to say thank you. You guys are just such the rock star in my eyes, and I just, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, Jimmy looks like the rock star, right? He looks like Sammy Hagar. So,
yeah, true.
Well, thank you for your kind words, and truly, it is our privilege to just offer help in whatever way we can. And sometimes it's just being there. You know, nobody has any magic words in those really hard times. Just do the best we can, and if nothing else. And this is true across the board, right? At least people can know that somebody cares. And sometimes even that's enough, right? That's enough. Because sometimes we can't make the bad things be unbad, but we can sure let people know that we're with them and we're for them. So Sheriff, again, thank you for your time. Thanks for what you do. And we just hope that our relationship goes on for a long, long time.
It'll just get stronger and stronger. Thank you.
All right. I hope so. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Roy.
Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out. Subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.